Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Great Fish is back. Brian Fisher from NBCSports.com to talk college football. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing fantastic.
All right, so a lot of games I want to talk to you about. So what did you think of LSU kicking Georgia's ass? That changed the playoff picture.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, LSU has a game plan every single week, and that's that they want to play good defense. We know Dave Aranda getting paid millions of dollars, and he's got a great defense that they can rely on. They want to run the football, and they just need some key throws as the game goes on from Joe Burrow. They got that in that game against Georgia, and you know, I think for the Bulldogs in particular, that was a game, especially going in at halftime down 16-0. Where that leadership from last year, the Nick Chubbs, the Roquan Smiths of the world, could have kind of rallied that team and gotten them back in that game, but they don't have those guys. I don't think they have anybody kind of stepping up to fill that void. And for Kirby Smart, now you've got a little bit of a quarterback conundrum on your hands as well, going forward in this very vital month in that college football playoff race.
Who do you like, Fields or Fromm?
You know, I think earlier in the year, it looked like they kind of had a plan for Justin Fields to come in there, have a package of plays, and really kind of understand and develop his role. And I think they went away from that. I think Jake Fromm did play well before coming into this game, and the coaches just kind of went away from it. And I think that was certainly a mistake. You want to be able to give defenses something else to think about, and I think that was the whole point of in playing Justin Fields earlier this year. And I think if you're Kirby Smart, you got to continue to develop that package, because no matter what Jake Fromm, even if he's your guy under center, you want to be able to have another guy just to give something, you know, defenses to prepare for.
So what do you think of and there's the field goal that wins it for the Packers, 33-30. So after messing around with the Niners all night, they win the game by 33-30. I thought the Niners played great, and Rodgers stole that one at the end, tying it with a great touchdown pass to Adams and then moving down the field and getting the field goal. We're talking to Brian Fisher of NBCSports.com about college football. Pat Narduzzi, the job that he's done at Pitt in big games and upsets, they almost did it again. They were winning 14-12 against Notre Dame, but booked through that great touchdown pass late in the game to win it for the Irish. But Pitt gave them fits.
Yeah, and I think for Notre Dame, obviously, to have a special season, and it looks like there is developing one in South Bend, you've got to be both lucky and good. And I think they showed both sides of that against Pitt. I mean, Ian Book leads the nation in completion percentage. He's been really I think the guy that gives them a chance to make it to the playoff in the end and run the table the rest of the way. But the Irish defense, again, coming up big in that game as well. And in such a weird weekend for college football, I think if you're Notre Dame and you look back at that score, you just go, hey, survive in advance and keep going on, because every team throughout the college football season is going to have those close calls, even if it's against a bad team. And I think for the Notre Dame fans, they're just comfortable gutting out a win like that.
So what did you think of West Virginia and Greer getting whacked in Ames by Iowa State?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really since Big 12 play kind of started, West Virginia, after that big hot start, you know, they kind of just slowly started to look not quite hitting on all cylinders offensively. And I think going into Ames, I mean, that is a difficult place to play in on the road at night. You know, that was really just a combination of factors there, I think, for West Virginia to slip up. And, you know, give credit to Iowa State. Matt Campbell, a terrific coach. He gets his guys ready to play, really ekes, you know, the most out of that talent in that program. Brock Purdy was phenomenal again. And I think for Iowa State, that used to be a game that a lot of people viewed as a gimme. That is no longer the case for any Big 12 coach around there. You know, they've got to take the Cyclones team seriously. No matter what week it is, and this week it was West Virginia's turn to get the upset.
Brian Fisher with us, NBC. What did you think of Oregon winning in overtime over Washington?
Well, you know, I think if you go back a couple of years, even when they were rolling under Chip Kelly, this is a game that they don't really win because they were not stout in the trenches. They were not stout on defense. But that's kind of changed. Not only last year, kind of the building blocks under Willie Taggart, but really since Mario Cristobal has taken over full time up there in Eugene, he has made it a point that that team wants to be tough in the trenches. They want to be physical with you on defense, and I think that paid off against a very good Washington team. That you know, let's face it, they missed that kick at the end. They had their chances, and I think for Oregon, it was kind of the flip side of what happened against Stanford. You know, that they got caught a little bit of a break, and then they really made the other team punish punish for their mistakes, because you know, this is a very good Oregon team. They've got a surefire first round quarterback in there in Justin Herbert, but the other guys, the offensive line, the skill position players, the guys on defense. That's what really has been the area of growth over these last couple of weeks, and I think that's the encouraging thing if you're a Ducks fan going forward.
So the other one, I mean, there's so many great games. Michigan State's win in Beaver Stadium was huge in Happy Valley.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming into the season, that was a type of win that we kind of expected Michigan State to have, just because of all those returning starters. They just hadn't put it together for four quarters, you know, this season. And I think, you know, give credit to Mark D'Antonio. You know, he took a few chances down the stretch there. You know, that team still believed that they could win the football game, and they made the big plays when it counted. And you know, Felton Davis, I think they finally realized, look, he's our go-to guy, and we're going to have to keep going to him time after time after time and make the opposing defense stop him. You know, terrific win for them, and really shakes up kind of that Big Ten race for who might be that second place in that division.
What did you think of Michigan finally kicking someone's ass that was good in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think this was a little bit of a cathartic victory for the Wolverines, just not only because it was against Wisconsin and a top 15 program coming in, but I mean, Shea Patterson, that was the kind of performance that you know, Michigan fans wanted to see and expected out of him. I think when he, you know, was declared eligible earlier this year, you know, when that offense is able to get some big plays with that defense that Don Brown has, you know, there might not be a team in the Big Ten that can beat them. And I think it just makes them look so much more dangerous when you're talking about not only this weekend against the Spartans, but, you know, coming up, you know, against, you know, Ohio State in a couple weeks. And that's the one that everybody has circled. Now you look at them right now, it's a lot more dangerous of a team if they can get that offense rolling.
Virginia beat Miami. What'd you think of that?
Oh, you know, shocking at this point, and I think more so just because of as much progress as Bronco Mendenhall has made with the Cavaliers down there. You know, Miami just has not looked quite right offensively, and I think the puzzling decision that Mark Richt made to go back to Terry Rozier in that game a little bit early. I know Nikosi Perry had those early turnovers, but you know, the consistency on offense just has not been there at all for Miami. As much as the turnover chain and that defense can come up with the big play and the timely big play when they need it, it's just not quite putting everything together this year. And as a result, I think it just kind of compounds the fact that outside of Clemson, and we'll see about NC State this weekend, the ACC just isn't that great this year.
So who do you think wins that NC State-Clemson game?
I still go with the Tigers in this one. I know that the Wolfpack have kind of had their number, and they've had their chances the last couple of years. I do like Ryan Finley at quarterback, and you know, they've got some weapons out on the perimeter that can really test that inexperienced secondary for Clemson. But you know, Dabo Swinney at home, you know, big games, he always gets his guys fired up, and I think because of that defensive line that they can throw at you. You know, you can do so many different things in the back end in terms of confusing coverages and all that. I think they're still going to be able to run the ball and really take the pressure off of Trevor Lawrence. I think this is a pretty convincing win for Clemson when that all is said and done. But, you know, I would imagine at least in the first half, NC State gives it a little bit of run before Clemson kind of takes over down the stretch.
Lastly, Ohio State and Purdue at Ross-Ade and West Lafayette this Saturday night as the primetime game on ABC. Can Purdue hang with Ohio State? They've been playing a lot better in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big test for that Ohio State defense. And let's face it, they have not been great this year, and especially when it comes to giving up that big play. And that's what, you know, Purdue is really consistent on offensively. I mean, David Weil can beat you over the top. They've got guys on the outside that can make you pay down the field. And I think if you're Purdue, if you can hit on three or four of those, if you can keep it close going into the late third quarter, into the fourth quarter, you can make things really interesting in that game. I still think Ohio State's offense is just so much better than what Purdue can throw out there defensively that even if this is turns into a little bit of a shootout, I still trust the Buckeyes in this one. And I think it's going to be a big progress, benchmark essentially for that Buckeyes defense. If they really want to be taken seriously in the college football playoff race, they've got to clamp down on those big plays in a game like this.
Brian, great stuff. Always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely, anytime.
All right, Brian Fisher of NBCSports.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.